is that okay?
Nope, to get you. I was listening to these guys, and I was thinking about you. I tried you earlier, but I thought maybe I missed you there. These guys are the Navajo Code Talkers. There's a QRM station right beside them. And they were the heroes of World War II. I imagine you've heard of them, haven't you, Shane?
And I actually was trying to tune them in, and you're right, there is a station I tuned down. He's a couple of KCs down, and very, very strong signal, speaking Spanish, probably out of Mexico, I guess. But it's just distorting. I can hear them, and then all of a sudden that other station, the QRM, comes in, and I can't copy anything.
Tonight, huh?
I've been playing hooky all week. Actually, not really playing hooky. It's a scheduled week off. Taking a week off.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, I know Matt likes to work that. He likes HF, period. And he bought an amp for me years ago that I overhauled. But if you wait till that Lima Unibus in Argentina, but he'd be speaking Spanish. If you wait till he... see, he come in clear then, and I'm getting the same QRM, and I tried every kind of dang Knots filter and everything I got that I know how, which ain't much, to dial him out, and he's very hard. He's probably running a lot of wattage. But I remembered what I wanted to tell you this afternoon, Shane. The thing I was thinking of, he was talking about making the bunk beds for the kids, and my youngest grandson sent a picture of him in front of the gun display, and the real fine ones up at the Bass Pro at Springfield, which is the Bass Pro of the United States. And the other one sent a picture of him with a bear, and he's about as big as that bear. Not quite. But I was going to comment about the wood in those stocks. I don't know if you've ever seen any triple grade A fancy guns with stocks like that. Oh my, I just drool over them. I'm certain I never could afford one. Don't even want one now, but God, there's some pretty bird's eye maple and stuff like that. I love to see good woodworking.
I know what you mean. I've been in a couple of stores that have that, that almost like a walk-in safe with the expensive guns in them. And you're right, there's some fantastic woodwork on that stock, on those stocks. And that's what I love about a woodworking. You know, you take an old piece of wood, it could be sitting out in the woods, you know, you mill it out or whatever, and you take a hand plane to it and start shaping it, and just the beauty that can come out of an old piece of wood that just looks like scrap laying in the woods, you know, it's just amazing.
My kids and Bernice and I used to cut wood on her mama's place, and it was just amazing just learning the different kinds of wood that you cut and the grain in it and that. My neighbor took a piece of cherry that got knocked down during a tornado, and he was a gunsmith. And he made his personal varmiter, which was a 22-250. He sent that wood off and had it kiln dried, and he made his gun stock out of that. Oh my, it was just beautiful. It really was.
I like cherry. I've got some old cherry that fell down on somebody's property. It wasn't much, but it was enough to get a few boards out of it, and it's some beautiful stuff. I've had it for several years and haven't done anything with it yet. Don't know what I'm going to do. I've got some cedar like that, too, but I'm just basically using construction lumber for these bunk beds, but it doesn't look like construction lumber now, so it's turning out pretty nice.
I'm going to send you that Ariel sent me the other day. The one that went out to the amateur radio club, I think I deleted it because he sent me one personally. And for the last year, he's been building a barn. You know, I've told you about his ability woodworking. And he spent a year and did almost every bit of it by himself. Just an amazing man. The well up there, he built the lithium battery and the charging system and everything for that, for backup on the well. And the barn is just unbelievable that one man could do that. But I know he can because he built his own house, and it's marvelous just to see where he lives currently. But I want to go up and see that barn one of these days. We're supposed to, but it got too hot for me. So I'm looking forward to him taking me up there. But woodworking, it's just an art, and that's all there is to it. And some of it is just some of these burnt-time maple things, what I like to see. They're just gorgeous.
That LK, you're right. I do love maple. And I've seen some pretty grain design in that, especially that bird's eye maple. But I mean, it's just amazing. Depending on the way the wood is cut, the way the grain can jump out, or you know, just take on a character of its own. I really enjoy that. And I've heard that Ariel's is a very accomplished woodworker. And I wonder how that man has time to do all that he does. Because I ran into him one time, talked to him at the Whole Foods parking lot. I'm sure he doesn't remember, but I've heard him on the air over the years, and everything that he seems to be involved in, it's amazing that he can get done what he gets done. I'm just really impressed by that.
No, he's just an incredible man, and now he's teaching physics, I think high school physics. And he did metallurgy for GE for many, many years. And that's top secret stuff. That's really high tech. And he worked out there where my daughter worked in that area. But there's so many people there. You know, there's 3,000 people there. By the way, that old boy, I talked to him on that Navajo Code Talkers. And he'll talk to you a while. I told him, I said, I worked on setting water valves and inspecting them, made sure they were in right at the Navajo Irrigation, the Navajo Indian Irrigation Project in Farmington, New Mexico. And he had mentioned he was in the Four Corners area, only of Arizona. And I said, well, there's a lot of Four Corners areas, but I said, if that's the one, it's near Farmington. I said, I worked on the Navajo project there, and it kind of tickled him. He says, yeah, Tom, he says, I know what you're talking about. They had several of those irrigation projects. Man, Shane, it was miles and miles out to it, and then just to go from one pumping station to the next, it was miles, and I had to go between them. But you can't imagine the size of those pumps. I think they were either 1,500 or 3,000 horsepower. I can't remember now. It's been too many years ago. But it was an experience and something to see. And I might mention, we was talking about wood. Up here at that compactor station up north of us here, about 2 miles, where we take our trash, there was an oak tree there, and it was probably 4 to 5 feet in diameter. It was right at the intersection as you come out. And it had burls on it that looked like they were 18 inches across. I don't know who got that tree when they cut it down, but I'll bet you that was worth a fortune.
That LK. Yeah, I can imagine. Those burrows are highly sought after by people that do woodworking, certain types of woodworking. That turns out some amazing things, too, as well. And I was looking at this code, the Navajo Code Talkers website, the N7C, not website, but the QRZ page. It's pretty interesting. I haven't been able to read it all yet. It's amazing things, and that was a big credit to the service. I'll tell you what, being able to have a code that was unbreakable like that, it was a good credit to the service.
Yeah, I was telling Matt, and he knew something about it, and he said his boss had a calendar at work, had something about him on it, and they broke the enigma. One of them on a submarine that was off the east coast here, I don't know if it's by Bermuda or someplace out there, they had set the scuttle charges on it and were trying to sink it, and they were abandoning ship, and the nose of it was sticking up, and the sailors off of this destroyer escort pulled alongside and sent the dinghies over with guys in it, and they went down in there and disarmed those, and they towed it, and they couldn't say much about it on the way in because they didn't want the Germans to know they had it, and the spies would have told them. And I think they towed it into Chesapeake Bay, but then later on it's at the Chicago Museum of Science up there, and Bernice and I have been through it. I can understand why they call them pig boats now. You walk right down between the engines on it, Shane. They brought it down the St. Lawrence Seaway. I always wondered how they got that to Chicago, but it's there.
It'd be something to see. And I had a thought while you were talking about that ship, you know, going down. I think I might have talked to you about this before, and if you read books, I would highly recommend a book. It's called Halsey's Typhoon. I know you've heard of them, and I know you know the story, but and you may have read the book, but it's basic. It's not a, well, I don't know how you would say what it is. It's basically stories from the different boats, and it follows a reserve lieutenant who rescued a number of men during that operation, and they ended up having a reunion every year well into, you know, he was 80, 90 years old when he finally passed away. But he was one of the, well, he rescued most of the people, and it was kind of based from his side of the story, and it was just all facts and information, but it would go to the different boats that were around and some of the stories of what happened to some of the sailors there. I think you'd probably find that very interesting.
I'm not familiar with it. He almost lost his Navy career over that. He tried going through that typhoon instead of going around it. And the only thing that saved his stars was the fact that World War II started shortly after that, if I remember right, James.
There was some miscommunication, apparently, from some of the weather information that they were getting, and there actually turned, there were two typhoons that came together, and they got caught in the middle of it, from what I remember. But man, some of the things those guys were going through, talking about going down 90-foot waves, you know, being in the water in these life vests, and the wind was blowing so hard, the raindrops were peeling the skin off of their face, and they would slide down the one side of the wave, like 90 feet down to the bottom in the trough, and then get soaked as they were going back up the other side, and it was just incredible.
Because I remember, I think our flight deck, they taught us how to jump off a flight deck in deep water survival school and that. One of the schools, anyways. But I jumped off the high tower. They had two of them. The high tower was voluntary. Well, I love to swim, so I tried it. Man, you hit hard. Stung your feet. And I think it was only like 30 or 40 feet high in that indoor pool. And that one where you get in the cockpit and it turns you upside down, you know. And anyways, I thought, boy, I ain't volunteering for that no more. And they always told you not to volunteer for anything anyways. But I think the flight deck was 90 feet to the USS Bennington that I was on. Anyways, it was a long drop down there because I went up on the bow and looked over. The guys told me there were porpoises, and they would get right in front of the bow of the carrier. And they really a sight to see. And I guess they do that with a lot of ships. They'll just follow along with them. But from Kansas, I'd never seen anything like it. And they go for miles right there in front of the bow of the ship. I guess there's some kind of a pressure wave there or something that they rode. But they look like flying fish coming out of there. But yeah, the co-doctors were Marines, and they were truly heroes. And I think they were paramount there in, I believe it was Okinawa, but it might have been quite a few places. I really don't know. But they also broke the Japanese code there when they were getting ready to bomb Midway. And that helped them to break it anyways. But I was young and dumb, and when we landed at Midway, it was just to refuel. We spent the night, I believe, at Wake. And it was so god-awful hot, I didn't want to get out of that air-conditioned airplane. It was really hot. And Midway wasn't so bad as Wake was, I don't think. But I didn't realize the notoriety of it. I wish I had it, because I know a lot about it now.
I got my mug in one hand and started to talk into it. I was looking at the computer at the same time. Not going to get very far that way. I sent an email to you with a link to that book, if you're interested. I'm pretty sure it's the same one. It looks like it. I've got it somewhere. It was a very interesting read. But anyway, yeah, it would be interesting to visit those places like Midway and things like that. Never been out that way. Maybe one day I'll get a chance to. It'd be fun to see. But man, what those guys went through is incredible.
Shane, the QRM is gone there now. If you want to try to work that.
But now, yeah, I'll do that. I'll get back with you in a minute unless you need to go. But hope you and Bernice are doing well tonight.
Okay. Well, she's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I'll let you know, Shane. But I need to run down the hall. So great hearing you tonight. Enjoyed it as usual. Enforce LK and 0TR. I'll listen for you on there.
Well, good night, and I'm going to try as soon as it clears up here. N0TR, N4ZLK, 73.
I might get you ground weight, but it's unlikely. It'll probably skip over me. But you ought to get him N0TR clear. Good luck.